Today is the wonderful solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Usually we just refer to this feast day, the final Sunday of the church's year, simply as the Feast of Christ the King. Ang dakilang kapistahan ng Kristong Hari, or the official name of it in the Tagalog book, ang dakilang kapistahan ng paghahari ng Panginoong Hesus Kristo sa sanlibutan. So we're honoring a king today, and we know that there are kings around in the world today. Maybe the most famous nowadays is King Charles, King Charles III of England, or of the UK. He was inaugurated only a couple of years ago. And more recently, the news about King Charles is that he's suffering from cancer. In his recent visit to Australia, King Charles was met with protests and rejection. Some people there don't want a king, or they don't want him to be king. I'm not sure which is the issue. The King of Spain, King Felipe VI, has also been in the news recently. Maybe you saw this. He went to the Valencia region, where the site of the terrible floods that killed hundreds of people. And the people there threw mud and stones at him. They were so angry about the government's poor response to the deadly disaster. So the recent news about these two kings reminds us that kings nowadays simply don't have that much power. They're figureheads, they're representatives, but they're not really the ones who run the show or run the country. And they get cancer, and people throw mud at them. So on this feast day of Christ the King, we might do better to think about people who are regarded as really powerful. And again, the news puts these people's names in front of us all the time. Marcos, Duterte, Biden, Trump, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, or Kim Jong-un? Vladimir Putin, I don't get their names mixed up, but you know them all. These are very powerful people, and they make the news every day. And there are many more. And don't throw mud at them. You might get your head chopped off. And the world has always been like this. There have always been powerful leaders, rulers. In Jesus' day, the Roman emperor was Tiberius, and Pontius Pilate worked for him. I have many friends and relatives in the United States where they just went through a national election, and about half of them sound so happy, like they've just been miraculously cured from some deadly illness, or like the world has a savior now, like they have hope for a bright and joyful future. And about half, the other half, well, they sound unhappy, like they're on the verge of despair, like the world is about to end, like this is the worst time to live in the history of the world. I can understand those sentiments. I think we always rejoice when our team wins the game, and we always are sad when they lose. So I can understand it to some degree, but they're both wrong. At least they're terribly exaggerated, thinking that everything has changed. Earthly kingdoms rise and fall, and earthly kings come and go. And today's feast helps us put these things in proper perspective, because we're focused on a different kind of kingdom today and on a different kind of king. In today's gospel, Pilate is trying to figure out how this strange Jewish figure, Jesus, fits into the power structure of his time. And so he asks him straight, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? It's an important question in Pilate's mind, because the Roman government had appointed Herod Antipas, the the son of Herod the Great, to be the king, to be the king of the Jews. So it was Rome who decided who the king of the Jews was. And Herod did not like to be opposed. Remember what happened to John the Baptist. He had his head cut off. So is Jesus a king? This is Pilate's question. Is he a king? He doesn't look like a king. He doesn't act like a king. He doesn't talk like a king. Is this man really a threat to imperial Rome? Why are his opponents so fiercely demanding that he be put to death? Well, in the end, Pilate decides just to get rid of this nuisance. And then in the inscription, which is nailed to the cross, he wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Usually abbreviated I-N-R-I, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. As if to say, this is what we do to people around here who claim to be kings. And then to make it even more obvious, the soldiers give him a crown. Crown of thorns. As if to say, you're no king. You're not our king. But where are those soldiers now? Where is Pilate now? Where is the Emperor Tiberius now? Where's the Roman Empire now? All gone. There's a limit to the power of earthly rulers. Even the most powerful. And then there's Jesus, who says to Pilate, my kingdom does not belong to this world. He was speaking about something beyond Pilate's understanding, probably beyond his imagination. Something more, something greater, something longer lasting, something universal. I love how the preface for today's feast sums this up. An eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And the ruler of this much greater heavenly kingdom is a much greater heavenly king. That's Jesus. Who is he? He came into the world to testify to the truth, he says, because he is the truth. He is the foundation stone of reality. He's the king. He's the ultimate authority in the universe. And he has come not to crush with power, not to cut people's heads off, not to limit our freedom, not to oppress us with burdens and laws, not to enslave us, but to save us. To save us even from death itself. People ask, well, if this Jesus is a king, well, what does he have to do with us? We have lots of other rulers oppressing us, claiming to make life better when they often don't. If his kingdom is not of this world, well, then what good is it to us, people ask? If he doesn't fix our problems, if he doesn't improve our economy, if he doesn't fix the roads, if he doesn't stop wars and famines and diseases, well, then what good is he? Well, that kind of question misses the power of the truth. They sound like great, lofty goals, and actually they are. We should work for peace and overcoming hunger and overcoming disease. Yes, we should fix the roads and improve the economy, yes. But if that's what we're focused on, we're not aiming nearly high enough. What if the economy does improve? What if the roads are fixed? What if the wars end? Will we be happy? Well, a little bit happier, but not really. It doesn't really change everything for us. The only thing that will make us truly happy is something that lasts. Improvements and safety and peace that lasts forever. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what gives Christian believers hope and joy, even in these earthly kingdoms with all their problems. You think of the saints, think of the martyrs down through the ages. They didn't have worldly power. In fact, they laughed at worldly power because they knew something much greater. They could not be intimidated by kings, by poverty, by torture, even by death. Because they knew that Jesus has already taken on all those things and defeated them all. What we're celebrating today is the ultimate victor, the ultimate victory, the greatest ruler, the greatest kingdom, and he wants to share his kingdom with us. He wants to share his victory with us. So let's not sit around questioning him or throwing mud at him or crucifying him. No, let's follow him. Let's share in his victory of truth and love. We pray every day, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And that's what we pray today. We ask for the coming of his eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace.